Yeah. The next thing that we'd like to talk about is the which is better, the movie versus the book.
Actually, my favorite movie is based on a book, and I didn't really like the book that much, but I love the movie. Some people like the book better, like, and in all cases, but I like the movie better of this one movie.
Okay, and what movie would that be?
Stardust. It's based on a book by Neil Gaiman.
Okay.
I love that movie more than anything. It's my favorite movie ever. It actually does have one of those two happy endings, the movie does, but I don't mind because I love it that much.
We have some disagreement from Fly. That's mostly because we know that she's a Neil Gaiman fan.
As soon as she said Neil Gaiman, I just started smiling and sat back and waited for the response.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here waiting. She says the book is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I like the book. It just didn't really fulfill me in the same way as the movie. Like it's a personal preference. I mean, I'm not saying she's wrong for liking the book. I'm just saying, like, that movie is, like, very... very good, in my opinion.
Okay, for me, we were talking about this before the show, because a lot of times, I guess, for me, the book tends to be better. But for the, I don't know if you're familiar with the movie Finding Fisher.
No, it's not Finding Fisher.
It's Antoine Fisher. I'm sorry. I'm so tired.
It's late. Sort of.
But the movie is Antoine Fisher, but the book is an autobiography by Antoine Fisher called Finding Fish. And I love the movie, but I liked the book more because it went into more details about his life from when he was in foster care and more details from, like, when he met his mother and things like that. Sometimes I think that the book goes into more details that the movie has to leave out because of because of creative license, if you will.
Yeah. We were also talking before the show, Connie and I were talking about the Harry Potter films.
I was actually just thinking of something.
Honestly?
Wait for that.
I'd say that the movies are excellent. I'm in love with the first four movies, but I have to say that I think the books are better just because the author, J.K. Rowling, goes that extra mile and explains pretty much everything. I would say that most of the plot translated through to the movie, but not everything did.
Like the fact that his father and the friends are Moody Wormtail, Padfoot, and Prongs, they never said that explicitly in the third movie, and I was like, people who watch the movies aren't going to get that.
Yeah.
I think I've watched like the first four, but I haven't really read the books. So do you need to kind of read the book to understand the movie?
I'd say it helps
a
lot.
Yeah, especially with the fourth movie, because the fourth movie kind of rushed stuff a lot. I thought. I'm sorry.
Well, I actually haven't seen the fifth movie, but my mom's seen it a lot. And she always talks about how the fifth one just cut out a lot of stuff. And she thinks it could have been done a lot better. But then again, the fifth book is so long.
The fifth book is my least favorite of the books. The fifth movie is my favorite of the movies. I'm like the opposite of most people in that. But I love the fifth movie. Most of the music, actually. I have the soundtrack, and the soundtrack's really great.
Yeah, the soundtrack is excellent.
Yeah. The same director and soundtrack person are doing the sixth movie. which I can't wait for.
All right. So, Meisen, what about you? What do you think about some books being better than the movies?
Books are always better than the movies, I think, because movies, you only have a certain amount of time to get through the plots, and they always tend to cut out some interesting things. For me, one of the clearest examples would have to be the Harry Potter franchise, in that, like, all the subplots in the books are completely gone out of the movie. You don't get...
Not totally. The romance is still there.
No, I mean you're, all the stuff between Ron and Hermione and the house elf stuff in the later parts of the series.
Cool.
All of that is just completely gone. The creature stuff, like how he played a more important role in, what was that, fifth book, Order of the Phoenix?
They just
cut so much out.
Yeah, but that doesn't make them bad. I mean, I don't like to judge things whether they're better or worse. I mean, some things I like one thing better than another thing. But, like, the books and the movies of Harry Potter complement each other. Like, I mean, I'm sorry for anybody who loves the fifth book, but when I first read it, I completely skimmed past the ending, and I was like, wait, who died? What happened? Oh.
Yeah.
And then the fifth movie is kind of like... That was really emotional. I can't watch the movie, because it's sad when it's funny now because it's Edward Cullen, but when it first came out, it was sad.
Yeah, I have to say I really, really liked the fourth movie just because of that. And then I heard about Robert Pattinson playing Edward Cullen. I was like, no, he can't. He's already Cedric Diggory.
No, yeah, which is, I did hear that he was in the movies. Which one? I missed that though. Which one was he in?
Twilight.
Well, I know Twilight. I'm talking the Harry Potter.
Oh, he was in the Goblet of Fire.
Okay,
yeah,
so the fourth one. That's the one I seen in the theater. So which character was he?
Cedric Diggory.
Okay.
The kid who died.
Huh?
The kid died.
Oh, he's the kid that died. Oh, okay. I've seen it like once, so.
Yeah, the guy who died.
You should probably put a warning in this. Well, no. Everybody knows Harry Potter spoilers by now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a question from the chat from Sly. Again,
okay.
Thank you. She says, would you want your book to be made into a movie? Do you think you would want your book to be made into a movie?
I would love my stuff to be... Well, I would love it to be made into an animated series. Well, I'm sorry. Well?
No, go ahead.
Okay, I actually, put out my ideal casting with voice actors from anime who I'd want to be in an animated version of my novel.
Awesome. I know.
What?
I said that was awesome. And I know back when I was in 10th grade, my best friend and I, we would play around with her book, and we would try to think of actors who could play the characters in her book. So we've always kind of envisioned her book being turned into a movie. I can't really say for her whether she would want to be a movie or not, but it seems like a really... amusing idea.
Well, what about you, Sahar? Would you like your book to be turned into a movie?
I don't know yet, because the book that I'm working on still needs a lot of polishing up, since I'm still working on it. But I think after I get everything settled, I think it would be a pretty interesting movie. Yeah. But then at the same time, I would be afraid, because I would be afraid that they would cut out certain things that are really important, like certain messages that need to be in the book.
That's why you don't sign over all your rights when you do that. You sign on to help with it.
Yeah.
Also, why I'd like, why I'd prefer mine to be made into a series, not a movie, because a series I don't have to cut as much.
Right, that's true. Because it can just keep going on and on, and there's nothing that really keeps you from leaving stuff out.
Yeah, I have a couple books that I'm working on now that I wouldn't mind being turned into a series, and that's kind of the idea with it. And I have a book that I'm actually, it was a 2007 National Novel Writing Month, but with the demise of one of my computers, what I had went with it, so I'm going to restart it. This year's Nano, I plan on trying to turn that into a movie at some point because I think it would make a really good premise.
Do you think you'd want to write the screenplay?
Huh?
Do you think you'd want to write the screenplay?
Yeah, I think so.
Because Erin's talking about that. She said if her book was a movie, she'd want to write the screenplay.
I agree with her that if they wanted to turn it into a movie, I'm at least helping with the screenplay.
Yeah, I would definitely want to help with the screenplay.
And so the next question I have is, isn't the book the author's work and the movie the director's work? Aren't they two different things?
I would think so. Just because the author has one thing in mind when they're writing the book, and then the director might have the same thing in mind, but not exactly the same thing when they're making the movie. So I would say they're two different works. I wouldn't want to associate them and say this is one big thing.
Once the movie's made into a book, or vice versa, if that happens to be the case, it's both their works. Both their names will be tied to the work, no matter which you're reading or watching. You're going to be thinking of both versions of the movie and the book. As a, going back to Harry Potter, just because it is popular and a bunch of people have read and watched both of those. Everyone knows what happens in the movies, and a lot of people know what happens in the books. Just both their names are on it. Actually, who is that? Michael Bay?
No. Okay. Let me go grab the DVD of the fifth one and say who the director is.
It's Chris Columbus, I think, actually.
The first two. You did the first two, and the fifth one, here's the fourth one and the third one. I'm looking for the fifth one. Here. The fifth one was directed by...
Hello?
Yes?
David Yates.
The fifth Harry Potter movie?
The fifth Harry Potter movie was directed by David Yates.
Okay. Because I know the first two was Chris Columbus.
First two were Christopher Columbus, then Alfonso Cuarón. Then David Yates did the fifth and sixth one.
Who did the fourth one?
I forgot.
Columbus again?
No, it wasn't. Fourth one was...
Mike Newell.
That's who it is.
Yeah.
Also, don't you think, though, that once the director gets it, that it's for their interpretation of the book? Because I think it was Stephen King who said that the book is one thing, but the film is the director's. Yeah, because Stephen King, he completely takes himself out of it, and he sits back and waits to see what the director does with their interpretation.
I forgot what I was going to say. I had something really good. I was forming it perfectly in my head, and then as soon as it got finished, it left the
bears. Hey, when that happens.
So, do we have any thoughts on that?
Well, Fly says that it's mostly they're sort of in a way, but she thinks that the director is kind of paying homage to the author's work. So there's that that you can think about. So like according to her, she thinks that there should be like similar themes. Like you have to have the same themes and like similar ideas.
Right. Well, I mean, it's definitely because it is paying homage to the book, but at the same time, I mean, you don't necessarily want to see like a word for word, a word for word piece, you know, up on the screen. Like, you know, I mean, if the director thinks that maybe, you know, one part wouldn't translate better.
Mm-hmm.
Then, or, you know, maybe the director, I don't know, maybe if the director thinks that the ending of the book doesn't work well, and so they change the ending a bit just so it works better on screen. Because some things translate better on screen than they do on
paper.
The book, yeah, on the paper.
You see, that's the one real thing that bothers me is when someone changes the climax. If they keep all the rising action the same and then they just change the climax, it's completely different. It's not a book and a movie per se, but two movies, the remake of My Bloody Valentine and the original. And the original, they just completely changed the ending between those two movies, and it just didn't work. I mean, it's a movie made from a book, you're going to expect the book, not something else, because that is changing an important part of the plot, in my opinion.
Just because something's different doesn't mean it's worse. It's possible for a book to be bad, and it's possible for a movie to improve a book. I'm not saying I know a particular example. I'm just saying it's possible for it to happen. So, like, I don't. It's not a book and a movie, but I know, like, anime that improved from the manga. I think at least.
Yeah, that's a good example too. The cartoon versus the comic book version. They have that in Japan.
Yeah.
Well, something I'm just going to throw out there from a more business standpoint, if a book is bad and it has a bad ending and people don't like, because people tend to base their reaction when they get through a book it is partly based on your rising action and your tension in it, but also you have that climax where everything that it was building up to happened, and a lot of people base it off that and consider that, you know, the core of the book, and if people don't like that, why would they make it into a movie in the first?
I don't think that's true. I mean, I don't know, like, any, like, alternate, like, situation. Like, I mean, I don't know, like, an exact, like, way where that's not true. I don't really, like, I just don't really think that's true.
I think the whole idea behind the movie being based on the book is just that there's a good story. So basically, I'd say if you want a good movie, you should have a good story behind it.
Yeah, I think that I think that a director can make something better. I'm excited. I'm probably going to get laughed off the forum. I'm excited to see the second Twilight because I think that I knew I was going to get a snort somewhere. But just because the book was all right, but I think that it could I think the right director could make it translate better on screen.
I'm excited about the second Twilight because the guy from Sweeney Todd is in it.
Which guy?
Anthony, the friend who likes the daughter.
So that felt like a lead balloon. What's the best book to movie translation?
That's a good question.
Well, I've already said my answer to that.
Which, go ahead and say it again.
Well, I don't think it's, like, the best, like, in terms of being faithful to the book. But, like, Stardust took a book that I found kind of, like, not really boring, but, like, just kind of, like, it didn't really get me that much. And the movie I just thought was, like, the funniest thing. It's, like, so funny and romantic and nice and happy and stuff, and I like it.
Okay. Meissen, what about you?
I had to interrupt you again. I do that so I don't interrupt by other noises in my house, but I was paying attention to the cashew gallery, and not listening to you people talk. I had you.
Okay, well, so we were talking about what's the best book-to-movie translation?
I really like the translation from Stephen King's short story, The Mist, into the movie. That was done so well, I thought. I mean, it was a short story, not a novel, but just the way that they expanded on it and took it from that to a movie. And, I mean, they did add a little bit to the end, but it was better. I mean, they had all the tension there and everything from the novel translated, just that the director added something to give it more finality and wrapped everything up better than in a movie or than in the book.
Okay, so did the book end like the movie?
The book ended earlier in the movie. The book left off and the movie continued a little bit after that. So, yeah. It just gave you more finality as to what happened to the characters.
We've got a question: does he kill his kid?
Yeah, that part wasn't in the book. It's just you see him there holding the gun. You see in the book, you read it there, and he's thinking about what's going to happen in his car, and just wondering what's going to happen next, when it's going to end. And then in the movie, it goes on, and he does kill his kid, and then get rescued.
Sahar, what about you?
The best. The best translation book to movie.
Yes.
Well, I'd say this is based on my opinion back in sixth grade, but I think it still holds true even now, is the book Holes by Lewis Sacker.
Okay.
I absolutely loved that book in sixth grade, and I went to go see the movie after I had read the book, and I just thought they did a really good job with the acting and with the story as a whole. And just like Mice's example, the book leaves off at a certain point, but the movie continues just so you can figure out actually what does happen in the end. But I think they should have kept the ending the same as in the book, because in the book there's one character, Zero, who's trying to find his mother.
I'm sorry, I'm making a list of stuff
with characters named
Zero.
In the book, he gets a party at his friend's house, and he hears this woman singing a lullaby that his mom used to sing to him when he was a little kid. So that just leaves it to the reader to think about what happened. But in the movie, he gets a lot of money, and he manages to like hire a private eye detective to go find his mom for him. So it's a lot different. The ending is definitely different from the book, but I'd still say it has a good effect on the person reading the book or the person watching the movie. You still come out of it saying, "Wow, that was really good."
Well, and that's always nice when you still get the same effect from the movie, especially when you really liked the book. So has anybody read the book The Stand?
I've heard of it.
Yes.
So you have how did the book differ from the miniseries?
I haven't I didn't read the book all that close, and I watched the miniseries first. And I'm a big fan of Flag, and yeah, I'm not really sure exactly how it differed, but it was a little different. But for the most part, it did hold true. From what I can remember, it's been what, a year or so since I read it? Yeah, a year. Got it for my mom her last birthday.
What about you, Fiametta? Have you read it?
No, I haven't.
Name the top five Stephen King books to movies where the book and the movie were good.
Well, that's hard for me because I haven't seen a lot of movies. Even less movies based on books.
I just thought of a movie that I read the book and I didn't really like the book, but I loved the movie.
Okay.
The Da Vinci Code.
The Da Vinci Code. What were the differences in the movie and the book that...
Well, I just thought the book was kind of, like, cheesy at the end. I didn't really like it. And the whole, like, premise, I didn't really like the whole, like, premise of the whole thing. I'm not, like, religious or anything, but, like, I don't think, like, I mean, there were, like, some facts, like, a little bit of facts, and then there was a whole lot of speculation. I didn't like the way, like, I mean, I know this is the reader's fault and not really the book's fault, but... Like, the way it could make you think, like, if you didn't know that much about the topic, like, that you get confused, which is, the, like, the fact and which is, like, the speculation stuff. But the movie, I just remember this one scene where they were talking about, like, the part when they have to find the knight, a pope interred or whatever, and then they go, they're, like, they leave, get out of a bus, and they walk into this building, and there's, like, this whole, like, kind of like a flashback, but not really like a whole like historical like thing with them, like with Isaac Newton, and they have like the like shadowy figures with the history over like the people in the present in the story. So I thought that part was really cool, and that part just stands out to me as like a good example of like a movie.
Okay. Well. Yeah. Hello. I would really like to thank our guests, Fiametta and Meissen. See, I said it right the rest of the time. Are you proud?
I'm very proud.
And the Cashew Gallery. Look, I got it right. I didn't say peanut. I said cashew. But Sly and Aaron for keeping us entertained. And, of course, my wonderful co-host, Sahar.
Thank you.
Have I told you lately how fantastic you are?
Yes.
Well, I should do it too. And so we'll come back after this break.
Hello.
Hello.
Ask them if they want to say the last word. Don't worry about it. I'll just edit it right.
Fiametta or Meissen, would you guys like to say any last words?
It was nice being on the show. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I've never been on a podcast before, but I've listened to them for a while, so this is cool.
Well, we're definitely glad that you could sit back and chat with us, and we're going to be doing this on a regular basis, so you're definitely welcome back.
Definitely.
Definitely.
Oh my god, I'm so
sorry. So again, we will be right back after this break.
Welcome back to the Creative Writing Podcast.
That was a really good forum. It was a lot of fun. Myson, I really enjoyed having you in on it.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. Don't remember what it's about now since this is recorded later, but it was fun.
Well, we'll definitely have to do it again. And once again, I'd like to thank those who participated, Myson, Fiametta, Joseph, the Cashew Gallery, Aaron and Sly, and my lovely co-host, Sahar, who will be back soon. And Myson, I'd really like to thank you again for being a guest co-host.
Not a problem. It's an interesting experience having to put up with people like you every once in a while.
Yeah, well, at least I'm cute. It was once said by Francis Bacon to write down the thoughts of the moment. Those that come unsought for are commonly the most valuable. You can find out more about our show or any of the other ones that we've had at our website, thecreativewritingpodcast.blogspot.com. Again, that's thecreativewritingpodcast.blogspot.com. Please leave feedback and comments on the show on our site, as well as our feedback number, 206-376-0461. Again, that's 206-376-0461. If you'd like to comment to us directly, hit us up at momb411@comcast.net. One more time, that's momb411@comcast.net. We're also available on iTunes and now on Zoom as well. Please leave us feedback on iTunes so it elevates our show standings. Before we close up the show, I just want to talk about something that's been on my heart for a minute. On February 23rd, I was on the bus going over to my little sister's house, and I look up and there's thick black smoke permeating the sky. There was so much smoke that I thought that this time there was two houses on fire. I sighed, shaking my head, as the bus stopped, allowing the fire trucks and two ambulances to go by. This side of town has been plagued by fire so much that it's not even a shock anymore. And as we went by this street the fire was on, I look over and see two men moving a small figure out of the way. One had the feet and the other had the head, and a small little hand dropped, just dangling as they moved it to safety. I wasn't close enough to see anything, and we rolled out of sight pretty quickly, but by the blue coat, I kind of guessed that it was a little boy. I practically ran to my sister's house from the bus stop, sobbing about what I seen and about there being another house fire, and I stayed glued to my nieces and nephews until we found out on the 6 o'clock news that 2-year-old Dustin Montague and his mother, Jennifer Lester, were sideswiped and rammed into a telephone pole where the car instantly burned into flames. Dustin died on the scene, and Jennifer is, to my knowledge, is still in the hospital in a coma due to the injuries sustained trying to rescue her son from the burning car. To my knowledge, the person that hit them has still not been caught. I'm telling this story because I know my listener base is growing, and I wanted to let people know how they could give donations to the family of Dustin Montague. The list of places taking donations are on our site. Please send your donations to the locations and not to the Creative Writing Podcast. Again, you can find these locations at thecreativewritingpodcast.blogspot.com. And with that, we'd like to thank you for listening to the Creative Writing Podcast, and we'll see you next time.
Hear her voice shake my window, sweet. trick eyes are everywhere. See that girl, she knows I'm watching. She likes the way I stare. If they say why, why? Tell them that is human nature. Why, why? Do they do it that way? If they say why, why? Tell them that is human nature. Why, why? Does he do it that way? I'm like living this way. Thank you.